Well, the idea that books can make us feel better has been around for a while. Sigmund Freud used literature during his psychoanalysis sessions. And during the First World War, literature was a prescribed treatment for hospital patients in both the US and England. Now, bibliotherapy is having a resurgence as a therapy. More and more, health professionals are using books to address emotional and behavioural issues with their patients. And it's not just self-help books, but the classics too. The book show's Claudette Worden takes a look at the technique which merges the science of psychology and the art of literature to make people feel better about themselves.
It challenges you to step up and really look at yourself and say, why is this resonating with me? Why isn't it resonating with me? What am I missing or what am I gaining from?
I just felt like, for me, I sounded really inspiring and I'm kind of on a spiritual journey right now.
Bibliotherapy is a term coined nearly a century ago to basically describe what most avid readers or members of book clubs know instinctively, that reading is therapeutic. In a clinical setting, it takes the form of therapist-guided reading to help deal with psychological problems. Dr. Dale Elizabeth Pearson from the University of Nevada in Las Vegas has undertaken more than 10 years of research into its benefits.
Bibliotherapy can promote increased self-awareness. It can help clarify emerging beliefs and values. It can help with the development of one's own ethnic and cultural sense of self and identity and belongingness to groups.
Director of the MATA Child and Youth Mental Health Service, Associate Professor Brett McDermott, has been using bibliotherapy in his work with young victims of the devastating Queensland floods.
8 people have been confirmed dead and at least 72 people are missing after terrifying flash floods devastated a town in the Australian state of Queensland. Witnesses say the floods smashed through Toowoomba like a tsunami.
The most common symptoms in primary age children after a natural disaster are depressive symptoms, a range of anxiety symptoms, including generalised anxiety, but also specific fears and phobias about water and rain and cloudy days. And lastly, post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, children do get PTSD. The danger is that if you don't treat them, there is, in many of these children, they can have a chronic anxiety condition that can last for several years.
Colleague Dr. Vanessa Cobham says the results of their therapist-guided bibliotherapy trial involving children and their parents has been presented at conferences and will soon be published in an international clinical psychology journal.
We actually have a very sort of clearly laid out program, so the kids and the parents in that anxiety trial that I was describing to you, the kids and the parents each had a workbook. Each week they would work through whatever session they were up to. And there was, you know, the content was the same for everybody, and they just made it relevant for their own sort of situations.
Associate Professor Michael Bajan, Clinical Advisor to the Beyond Blue National Depression Initiative, says therapeutic books and good self-help books have a nuts and bolts approach to a problem, although he cautions against self-diagnosis.
For example, if you've got a problem with a social anxiety disorder, the book will tell you all about it and describe it in such a way that you can identify with the symptoms and the thinking involved with it. And then it will take you through approaches to the different problems that you find with the disorder. So, you know, one part might be having panic attacks and breathing too quickly as part of that. And the book will actually teach you the techniques to deal with the breathing quickly and how to sort that out. And then another chapter will look at the thoughts that you have about the social anxiety that you're experiencing and help you to identify those and to correct those. And then another section of the book will have ideas for you to generate some tasks or experiments you might do to try and improve your tolerance of that anxiety.
I hope you won't have occasion to make many more apologies. I hope you'll try to control your temper from now on, Anne. Or maybe we'll leave it.
She's winning the war over.
She is, isn't she?
She has in her inward self, but she done the right thing outwardly, didn't she?
Yes, yeah.
Whether she meant it or not, she made it sound good.
Yes, that's right.
An example of a more informal approach to bibliotherapy and one involving library participation is the Bookwell program in Melbourne. It's inspired by the highly successful UK-based Get Into Reading outreach program. Susan McLean from the State Library of Victoria says the program, like the British model, focuses not on clinical manuals but good literature. Miss McLean says her research suggests over half of English library authorities are operating some form of bibliotherapy intervention. Bookwell facilitators, who are mainly librarians, work with small groups in aged care facilities, with the homeless and migrant groups, and in partnership with mental health providers. The program will be expanded next year.
To me, I think with Bookwell and with other reading-related therapies, we're working cognitively with the brain, but really what we're doing is we're dealing with their hearts. I think we're talking about how in a good story the characters speak for us. And I think it's because we recognise their emotion, you know, sadness, joy, anger, frustration. But I think we feel it when the character articulates the right words to give us expression for that emotion. And it really relieves us when we find the exactness of in a written word of what we're feeling, that we are unable to express ourselves.
The Orange Library in New South Wales is currently developing a book prescription program in partnership with the Regional Health Authority. Again, modelled on a successful UK program, doctors prescribe reading material to patients, which is then borrowed from libraries. Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at Stanford University and author of several psychotherapy textbooks and novels, Dr. Irvin Yalom, says as well as being instructive, stories can also heal.
It was not too long ago that I was treating someone with a love obsession, and then during the course of the therapy, a few weeks into it, he read my book called When Nietzsche Wept, which deals with a love obsession, and he said afterwards that he was ready to stop therapy. He got more out of reading the book than he got out of talking to me. So, you see a lot of the problems you're having, and you find that others have it. It gives you a sense of universality, that you're not the only one having these things. You feel less of a pariah in a way, and you can also see how others have coped with their problems.
Dr. Dale Elizabeth Pearson from the University of Nevada in Las Vegas believes there's an increased interest in bibliotherapy because it works.
Books help us not feel alone. They help us understand that there's someone out there who understands who we are, even if it's an author in a text that was written 150 years ago. Someone who understands my human experience. And a book is non-judgmental. You pick it up, you put it down, it doesn't tell you you're dumb or smart or not so smart or, you know, you're doing horrible things. The book is just there for you and it gives you feedback that's pretty unconditional.
Dr. Dale Elizabeth Pearson, she's a professor of counselor education at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, ending that report by Claudette Worden on the rise of bibliotherapy.